we were always sort of in between. I remember now, and I have my friend who was came for the summer. She said to me once, when we were well grown up, she said, "I never figured out quite how you figured out it figured in Cooperstown." She said, when I was a child, she said, "I just never figured that out." And I thought, well, that's funny that she even thought about it. But it was, we were sort of, as I say, in between. So we went to school locally, but not for long, actually. There were other schools in Cooperstown besides, you want me to go there? Talk about schools?
Sure.
In addition to the nuns at St. Christina and the public school on Chestnut Street, there was a small boys' boarding school in buildings on the corner of Pioneer and Elm Street, called the Beasley School. And my brother started going there probably, I guess he must have been in the sixth grade. So he did not spend a lot of time at the public school. And I started going to the Knox School for Girls in the seventh grade. And the Knox School for Girls was in the Otisauga. It was a girls' boarding school. There were about 100 and some students, faculty, and it was a complete little whirlwind to itself. Well, at the time, there was a separate building that had a gymnasium in it with basketball courts and a stage, and that's where the, and there was a dormitory for the maids, and the faculty lived in the main building and with the other students. And it was a very fine, they had a riding stable where the public school is now. The green barn where the buses are was a riding rink at one time in my childhood. And they, the school took in a few day students, and my friend Elizabeth McKeever and I were started there in the seventh grade. And I was there until I went there until I graduated. And actually, I came back and taught there when I was, after I graduated from Smith. So I spent a lot of time walking from Beaver Street over to the Otisauga and back.
What did you teach when you came back to teach?
History and English. Mm. So actually, I spent 7 years at Knox. So 6 years as a student and 1 year as a teacher. And I got an extremely good education. But that also separated me from anybody I had known in the public school, because my friend Lib, her father was a surgeon, she and I went there together in the seventh grade. We were the only students in the seventh grade. In the eighth grade, there were two boarding students. There were four of us in the eighth grade. We got up to about 10 or 12 by the ninth grade and so on. You can imagine we got a pretty good education. Started French pretty early, and 6 years of French.
Who ran the Knox School?
Mrs. Houghton and Mrs. Finney. And the Knox School still exists. It stayed here until the middle 50s. And then it moved to St. James, Long Island, and it still exists. It's now co-ed. Of course, we weren't allowed to talk to boys, but it's now co-ed. And I guess doing pretty well. That's right. So we had our lives, my friend Liv and I, our lives were circumscribed by our school and our family. Both our mothers were college graduates, and they saw to it that we got special extracurricular stuff. When we weren't in school, we very often were allowed to do, or encouraged to do things that would stimulate our brains. So we were sort of kept apart from a lot of what other children grew. So my growing up in Cooperstown is rather different from a lot of other people's, I think.
You said that your parents had aspirations for you kids. What were those aspirations?
Well, it was assumed we would, A, get good educations and go to college. I mean, that was, you know, which was not always, it wasn't true of the, this is the reason that we were taken out of the public school system, because that wasn't, the public school system here at that time was not geared for college preparation. It was strictly to just give, you know, some kind of education to the people of what I talked about. It was totally different. And that has changed a great deal since, as the hospital got really big, there were a lot more of those hospital, we were known as hospital brats. There were a lot more hospital brats. And so that the school, they became, those parents became involved. And unlike my parents, who I think sort of divorced themselves from, because they, I was a different time. In the running of those things, later on, the school changed because the parents of those children said, hey, you know, if I get on the Board of Education, I could change something. And they did. And so that changed a great deal. But so, yes, we were expected that, you know, we would A, do well in school, and B, go to college. Of course, the war came along and kind of changed our college educations, my brother's and mine slightly, but not a lot. But
how did it change it?
Well, I was at Smith from 43 to 47. The war didn't end until 45. There were waves, for instance, at Smith. There was rationing. There was, you couldn't travel. Getting back and forth to college was kind of a big deal, because there was gas rationing, and there's not a lot of public transportation between here and Northampton, Massachusetts, if you think about it. So anyway, and my brother went to boarding school very after he left the Beasley School, was sent to boarding school, and he accelerated at boarding school. They had summer school so that they could get through early, so the guys could get into the service. And all of that changes your whole... Going to college was very different when the whole country was at war. It'd be a lot of both curricular and I think other kinds of changes in within the colleges. A little bit off the subject here, I think, probably.
Did your brother go to war?
What? My mother?
Your brother.
To war, yeah. When he became old enough, yes, he went. He went. Started at Yale as soon as he turned 18, which was just as the war was about to end, frankly. So he did. In fact, he had to go. He was in the Navy for briefly, but the war ended in 1945, and by August it was all over. He was still in the Navy, I think, for a few months after it ended, but he didn't have to go overseas and get shot at or anything like that, because he was too young. Mm-hmm. He didn't turn 18 until, 45 it would have been. So in fact, yes and no. He did, but go to war, but not really. So are we go back to where?
Tell me about your mom, Carlotta.
My what?
Your mother.
My mother?
You said she wasn't partial to childhood.
She was the product of her father was a doctor who practiced in New York City. They lived, she grew up in a house in the East 40s, in a brownstone house that I still remember. They had a summer place in Connecticut, and she went to a very nice girls' school in New York City called the Brearley School, where you get an extremely good education. My mother's family were all intellectuals. All my grandparents had all gone to college. My great grandfather was a publisher and knew many people who were very famous in New York. So she grew up in that world of an intellectual snob. Frankly, she was truly an intellectual snob. Not that's an I don't mean that in a totally derogatory way, but she was. She had very little use for people who did not use their brains. And she was quite outspoken about it, and people who remember her remember that about her, I think. She married my father, who was then an intern in 1924, and they lived in New York City. He had enough money so that they could marry. It was very unusual for interns to be married at that time. Very unusual. They had to get permission to get married, actually.
Why?
Yeah. Very unusual.
Permission from who?
From the chief of staff of the hospital they were working at. Mm-hmm. So when he graduated from the College of Physicians and Surgeons, he started his internship, and he was a resident. By the time I was born, he was a resident at Bellevue in New York City. And they lived in, as I say, in New York City. I don't know what she did with her time. I did find the list of things she needed to have for my layette when I was born, when I cleaned out the house. And she was also not exactly the... She wasn't the coolest housekeeper in the world, I'll tell you that. She'd always had people doing things for her, so she was... Anyway, I found out... she must have had maids who took care of things in their apartment in New York. Of course, I don't remember that at all. I do know that when we came here, we came with Ellen, the nurse. I came by boat.
Really?
I did. My dad came here, whatever year it was, I think it was 28, but I'm not certain. Is it 28 or 29? My dad was up here, came here to get things settled. They rented the house on Pine Street. And then my mother followed sometime after. And we came from New York City to Albany on the overnight boat. Ellen, the nurse, and my mother, and my brother, and myself. The reason I know this, I remember falling out of bed. And then my dad came. I do have a picture, which I'm going to let you have because you can have it. My dad came in this car here. Let's see, this old Buick.
Mm-hmm.
Came to Albany and got us, and we drove across Route 20. Came to Cooperstown, and that's that very house. You'll see it. I mean, it's there today. You can have that now because it's just a Xerox of what's in the scrapbook. But just that day, sort of cool.
Yeah, thank you.
So my mom, quite what she did with her time, I'm not certain. She read a lot, and her best friend was the mother of my best friend. She and that woman had gone to Radcliffe, and the two of them, and my mother had gone to Smith. They had a lot in common, and they spent a lot of time together, I think. And they spent a lot of time being sure that those two children and my brother and myself were read to, and we had special... The winter got long. I remember one year, I think we were all down with whooping cough or something. There was a big thing about astronomy, and my mother got a whole bunch of books from New York, and we all learned a lot about astronomy and stuff like that. And that happened all the time. I mean, in the summertime, we had special little courses. We learned how to make puppets, and we learned how to make jigsaw puzzles. And we were stimulated all the time. But on the other hand, given a lot of free rein to do what we wanted to do. My dad was busy in the hospital always. He was really young, became a person of some note, I would say, and became chief of medicine eventually, but went to war again. But my dad went to war. To talk about the war, yes, my dad went to war. He'd been in the First World War, lied about his age. And when he and Dr. McKeever decided that they were going to join the medical group from Albany in the Second World War, he had a little problem because the Army thought he was too old. He really wasn't, but he'd lied about his age for the First World War, so they had to straighten that out. Mm. Anyway, he was gone from, he was in the Army from right after Pearl Harbor until November of 45 or December. November, I think he came home before, well before Christmas after the war was over, but he was gone for a long time, which changed my life too. I mean, that, I didn't get along particularly well with my mother those years. I was a teenage daughter. I mean, now that I think about it. and she was not... We were less of a high priority in her life than we might have been if my dad had been home. But he, she was really, really missing him a whole lot. She wrote a letter to him every morning. She didn't do anything before she wrote a letter to him in the morning. So we might as well have been not there for quite a bit of that, I think. And I understand it now. I did not understand it at the time, but she was really... it was very hard for them, for her. She also, because she had not been learned to be a housewife, having suddenly, after the war, the people who worked in our house did not work there anymore. They went to get jobs in places where they could make a little more money and do a little bit more for the war effort than serving meals to my mother and me and my brother and sister. And so we were... suddenly living in a rather large house with had a lot of help, which may change things. The gardener was no longer there. And if you look at the corner where that house is, and you realize that what is now all parking lot was a lovely lawns and gardens and whatnot, somebody had to take care of them. I learned a lot. I learned a lot during the war. My mother didn't learn to cook as well as I finally did learn how to cook, but... when she became very involved in the war effort, first of all, before we went into the war with things like Bundles for Britain, and she was very involved with the Red Cross, she was the head of the Red Cross here when the war started. That's where she turned her energies, and she was very involved, and she started the blood bank, that was now the Syracuse Blood Bank. She started that from here. So she was very community-minded in her own way. And she did a lot for the community in a very quiet way. She and my dad did a lot for the community quietly. But she was, for many years, not really part of it. But I think the war, of course, changed that because everybody was going in the same direction, whether you were the whatever class or whatever. I mean, that changed a lot of how, well, that changed the whole everything in the United States that the war did, because, you know, there were more kids who'd been on the farm, never been off the farm, as I said to you, were suddenly sent to, we'll say, Chicago for boot training and then on a ship to the mid-Pacific. These are kids who didn't know the Pacific was there. So it really changed an enormous amount. I mean, it changed this country ways that you can't understand until you think about what it was like before then. And I think I'm not wrong in saying what a tiny little world most of the people who lived in Cooperstown lived in during my childhood. It was really, that was it. Mm. And that, I mean, changed as soon as as soon as these kids started going away, they never came back, never came back the same. You don't come back once you, once you've traveled, you're not the same. So that changed a lot.
Tell me about the Bundles for Britain program.
Mm-hmm. All I can remember is, I don't remember anything more than my mother making these knitting socks, sea boot stockings, they were called, and they were long. Made out of natural wool, came up well over the knee for the British sailors to wear. And I don't remember much about Bundles for Britain. I just know that she knitted these socks and they went to the British Navy. And I can no remember no more than that. Mm. But I know you can probably, that Bundles for Britain I know existed. That's all.
What role did your father have in the war?
In the war? He was the chief of medicine of what was the 33rd General Hospital, It was based in Albany from Albany Medical Center. It had been actually a unit in the prior war, but it was reactivated for World War II. And Dr. McKeever, who was the chief of surgery here, and my father both went to war at the same time. They went, I believe, in 1942. Yes, spring of 42, they started out. And my dad was chief of medicine for that unit. And they went to from South Carolina, where he was stationed when I was a senior at Knox. And then they went, right after I graduated in the summer of 43, they went across the ocean and landed in Africa, Casablanca, and went across on a train to Bizerte, where they started a hospital, which they were in until, Bizerte is just south of Sicily, and they were there just as the invasion of Italy started. In Sicily and then Italy, they opened their hospital just as that invasion was starting, and then the hospital followed the troops up through the boot of Italy to as far as Leghorn. And they started their last hospital was in Leghorn, and that's where he closed that hospital down in the fall of 1945 and came home. So he was the chief of the hospital by that time. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. The chores that were left behind to do by you.
I got to be pretty good with a push lawnmower. I was a lot of lawn. I'm a very pretty good tree pruner. We did everything. You know, we washed the garage and cleaned it and did some of the cooking. My mother was not very famous as a cook. I learned a bit about cooking. We're not completely without help during the war because a woman who had been working for us, got a job across the street at the hospital, and she lived at our house and did some of the chores. She worked, we'll say, from 8 to 4, and then she'd come home and perhaps get dinner for us or something like that. I don't really remember. I just know Ruth was part of our lives during the war until she married, I think. We did everything around that house that needed to be done pretty much because there were no other people. Chores were not part of our life till the war came. Chores were coddled, I have to say. But when the war came, things changed rather drastically. But I can remember mowing that lawn with a hand lawnmower, and if you look how big that space is, it's pretty big.
Were these chores self-imposed, or did your mom tell you?
They had to be done, and we were there. And as a matter of fact, there was one summer, and I don't remember what year it was. I guess it was the year summer preps. I don't know. One summer, she was down with him in Columbia, South Carolina, and we were running the house. For better or for worse, I think we must have been 16 and 15 or something like that, and my sister was younger. We did what we could do. We had to get the groceries by bicycle because we weren't driving or anything like that. Besides, gas was pretty much hard to find. So it was different for us. It made a big impact.
Did you still have two cars at that time?
Yes, we did. My mother had her car, and I do know that when my dad was overseas, I was allowed, although it was forbidden at Smith College, I was allowed to take his car to college. I stashed it away where the college didn't know about it because it was easier than having somebody drive me over there and drive me back. It's 150-something miles. So, yes, they kept my little father's little blue car. Yes, we did have two cars. We had a two-car garage in that house. Doesn't look like a garage now, but it was. Yes, that was different. I mean, by that time, cars had come into being. As I said, we always had two. But my father's car was dedicated. We were not, almost never rode in my dad's car. it was really dedicated to the fact that he was dedicated to taking care of people from it. So occasionally I'd go on house calls with him, but my mother never drove it. And we weren't old enough, of course, to drive until he'd gone. He was not overseas yet, but he was not here. But she kept both cars during the war.
Tell me about going on house calls with your dad.
It was cool. I wasn't asked a lot, but these are the farms out in... Now, of course, people don't think, like me, here. You don't think anything of living out here. People did not mostly... There were houses out here, but not really populated. And occasionally he would let me drive or come along with him. I remember going into somebody's house and an old farmhouse with it. I can remember the stove and it smelled. All I can remember is I couldn't wait to get out of there. I'm sure it was a house that was never aired or anything like that, and I can remember a wood stove. And I can remember it being very hot in the kitchen. And the woman at the house, a little concerned, I guess it was her husband who was sick. I have no recollection. But I do remember driving on country roads with him. And the people were sort of really kind to me and sweet to me. I was not very old, but they were really nice. And it was an amazing experience. And the interesting thing is that at the time of his death, many people came to me afterwards and told me about, they remembered him coming to their house when they were ill many years before that and so on. It's very interesting. My dad and I figured this out already, closer in many ways, although he grew up in a house where his parents had not been touchy-feely either. He grew up, I guess, with all kinds of maids. I never really asked, but I know, you know, there was enough money there. And everybody pretty much had live-in help in those times. And he kind of didn't know what to do with these small people, things that were around his house. But when I became interested in what he was doing, he couldn't wait to share it with me, and he used to occasionally take me on house calls. And I used to, when I got older, just before he went to the war, I used to go across the street, and he'd show me his lab and things like that. He was a researcher as well as a caregiver, so. And I became very interested in medicine, actually, because of that, for a while. But he was... We didn't play baseball or anything like that. That was not what we did.
Did he ever have you help on the house calls in any way?
No. I was just baggage. And there were times when I didn't get out of the car. I think he pretty much knew. There was a situation where he didn't want me part of it. I'd just sit in the car and, you know, I'd have a book or something like that, I'm sure. You know. But occasionally he would. It didn't happen very often because I was always, you know, doing my own thing, as children do. But occasionally I'd be there, and he'd say, "You want to drive out to wherever?" And I, of course, coming out as far as you came here today to my house was quite a long journey in those days, not easily done. The other thing I was thinking about the war. One of the things that. I worked on a farm. It was not far from here. In the first summer of the war, a bunch of us helped with the cauliflower, Lester Hansen's cauliflower farm, and picked green beans. That was my first, you know, sort of real job. We got money for doing that. And it was, in fact, my first real job. Not far from here, just out of sight, over the hill.
Did you drive here?
By that time I just turned 16, and I was allowed to drive the other kids, the younger kids who also worked on the farm. I can't believe, you know, that we were all, these underage kids were doing what we were doing, but we were. Yes, I drove the whole bunch of them. There were about six of us who came, and I drove up in my mother's, which is bigger than my father's car. Yes. And because we were working on a farm, we had we were allowed to get extra gas, so we could work. I guess you know there was gas rations.